You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What is up, Bison fans? And welcome to a bonus edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast brought to you by Gateway Chevrolet and the good people at Tundra Insurance. No reason to beat around the bush here. We just have the audio version of the episode of Bison Report TV that debuted this morning on Bison Report, and that is a exclusive sit-down with the head coach, Mr. David Richmond. Coach, nice enough to give us over a half an hour of his time to answer all the biggest questions surrounding the program leading into this 22-23 season. Enjoy!
Here with North Dakota State head coach, Dave Richmond. Thanks for coming down, man.
It's always good to be here. Like I said off air, you've done a tremendous job with this spot. We appreciate the invite here, and
looks better and better every year.
All the coverage you provide us.
I'm gonna start you off with a tough one because it's the number one question that I get about this team leading up to the season. You guys gonna be any good?
I sure hope so. I understand it. Like, right, there's some turnover. There's definitely some new faces for me, Ross. And I know this is such a cliche word, especially this time of year. It's been really, really exciting. Yeah. This is a really fun group. And I need to make sure I backpedal a little bit on that statement and make sure, you know, I'm not going to change the narrative of everything I spoke of the last 2 years and the character, the integrity, the talent that we had in that locker room and all those wonderful young men that sacrificed so much for us. But part of the excitement, the spirit and atmosphere of what we do is like, this is it. This is college basketball. You're going to see new faces. And unfortunately, fortunately, whatever, and part of what we're embracing now is the transformational times is, and I think this spring was maybe a little different based on some other situations with COVID years and all those things, but it's just some transformational times that we're all navigating some different waters. But the credit goes to the five guys that stuck around. They've done a tremendous job of leading by example, embracing the new guys. But I tell you what, and I'm well aware there's going to be some bumps in the journey, no question. But this is an exciting group to be around.
And we don't necessarily need to go into, you know, who's playing where now and guys that left the program. But, I mean, this is just a different era. And how do you feel like your program is kind of adapting to NIL, adapting to the portal, guys coming in, guys coming out, because it's a different college basketball than even when we started doing this 6-7 years ago.
Well, first and foremost, like, and I spoke to one of my mentors in the profession, you know, we feel in a lot of ways, Ross, and this is certainly debatable, that Bison basketball is at a historic time, you know, and having some of the most success that we've been able to have, four straight Summit League championship games, multiple Summit League or championships that have led the NCAA tournaments. And so if it ain't broke, don't fix it, that old statement. And we are dealing with transformational times, no question. But trust me, like I as the leader and our staff, we're not going to flip something 180 just because things are happening around us. There's still some things that we're doing that we're proud of that I think are leading to our championship level successes that we're going to continue to do. Also, to your point, there's some things that we're embracing. Some of our guys have been fortunate to get into some NIL opportunities, and those have been great. to be honest with you. They've been legit. They haven't been pay for play. They haven't been to entice somebody to come here. They've been done in my mind what the spirit of NIL opportunities were have. When it comes to the transfer portal, loud and clear, it's something that we're embracing. Ideally for us, we're still recruiting high school young men and their families and developing them. If there's an opportunity where if there's a need or a want where we need to go into the portal, we're certainly going to do that. But also we want to provide the experience with our own guys too, that they feel like this is an opportunity for them to grow as young men, as students, and obviously as championship basketball players.
Does it change a little bit the way you view like a redshirt with how, you know, fluid everything can be? Even last year, I'm sure in the back of your mind, there was a thought of redshirting a kid like Josh Streit. Moritz has his issue, all of a sudden, no redshirt for Josh Streit. But has the kind of, like I said, fluid nature of rosters in and out changed the way you view redshirts?
Again, yes and no, probably the political answer.
Yeah.
First and foremost, Josh Streit is everything, you know, I want Bison basketball to be about, where it's selfless, you know, and in not an ideal situation for him, not an ideal situation for Andrew Morgan or us.
Yeah.
But he was called on to take on a challenge, and he did that. He helped us transition and really played with a great spirit, you know, to help us. To go back to the redshirt question, it's really twofold, and it's a question that I've asked some colleagues too. Some people say, hey, redshirt, it allows you to have a guy for another year in these transformational times. The other theory is play these guys while you got them. And we're going to continue to do what's best in a team-by-team approach. I think it's a little bit more on a year-to-year basis. When it comes to that, it's situational based on your depth and who that young man is. But all conversations that we're having when it comes to and pertaining to redshirting.
Everyone obviously wants to talk about the shiny new toys. Can you speak to your veteran additions in Jakari and Luke and what they might bring?
Yeah. You know, we're just having, around the time of this interview, we're just having some kind of exit fall meetings as our guys are going to take a long weekend, and then we're going to prepare for the non-conference season that'll end with some conference games. And, you know, starting with Luke, it just brings a smile to my face, Ross. It's like, you know, he's only been here since June, but it feels like he's been here for 3 years. And that's a credit to Luke. That's also a credit to our five guys that were here and embracing him and letting him be himself. He's got an unbelievable IQ. His voice is really heard in a basketball way, in a leadership way, challenging him to lead in a challenging way. Luke is like more of that consummate point guard, probably different than we've had the past couple years. He plays well off of ball screens. He's an inside-out threat. He's learning to impact the game in different ways around the rim and what's been effective for him. He's been great. Jakari is like he's already becoming one of my favorites just from the young man he is. He's so appreciative of the opportunity. I mean, he visits on a Monday and Tuesday, Ross, and by Friday he's back up here. And it just is throwing himself into this culture. When it comes to basketball abilities, high level shooter. I mean, he can come off different screens. He hit one the other day in our scrimmage. It was a tough catch-and-shoot opportunity that he's able to do it. I would say a good athlete, but also really wiggles with the ball. And what I mean by that is got some shake and set himself up in some ball screen situations. Defensively, he's proven to be a very good on-ball defender, working with some things off the ball. So those two have come in and really adapted themselves really well on the court, but just as much and more so off the court.
Is this class, though, I mean, of true freshmen, kind of what still sort of a, not necessarily a beacon, but like this is still what we want to be about? You bring in five well-thought-of high school seniors to really kind of put them into your culture the way you would normally do it, and is that kind of still like, hey, we're still interested in offering a four-year experience to these kids?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to our conversation here 2-3 minutes ago. That's still the priority. Recruit young men that want to be Bison, understand what it's about to be Bison, high school young men, and see them through and develop them in the process as young men, as students, and as players. And, you know, we'll see how it pans out. It's easy to say, but when it comes to character and integrity, when it comes to talent, potential, and abilities, this is a really, really exciting class for myself and in our staff. And am I aware that it's going to be some bumps in the road and it's going to take some time to just go through some experiences? Absolutely. But this is a talented group that really likes each other.
Anybody, and I know you don't probably want to single anyone out, but anyone probably looking at early minutes or looking at kind of an early impact, someone that you've gone through 5-on-5 and you're like, well, we have to play this kid.
Boy, I think it there is in the back of my head, Ross, but there's been some variables and some other situations with, Damari Wheeler-Thomas has been banged up most of the summer and into this fall. We had a setback about 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago with Tejavis Miller, two guys that we're really excited about. I will say this, everybody that's come in has exceeded our expectations. How that plays out based on what we got coming back, getting some healthy bodies back into the rotation, we'll see. But I'm extremely excited. You know, some probably more so earlier than later. There's some redshirt conversations maybe that we'll have after the exhibition game. Yeah, that's in our head a little bit. But really just want to see how things continue to play out over the next week or so.
You talk about healthy bodies. I got to have you tell me the Ryan Sletten story because I'm a Northwood guy. He's a Larimore guy. And you literally needed to be able to play 5-on-5. Yeah. An open tryout is not something that's happened a ton in the David Richmond era.
I love Ryan, first and foremost. Like, I mean, he's a young man that just understands the opportunity and the experience that's in front of him and has just really dove in head first and been great for us. Yeah, I mean, you go back to the last regular season game of the year, Desmond McKinney tears his ACL, and that's we're going to be smart and probably maximize and utilize the full nine-month rehab when it comes to that. Like I mentioned, Damari was out a good portion of the summer. Tejavis, you know, has been working his way back into it. We want to be smart, and so we wanted to add bodies, but we wanted to make sure that we added the right bodies. And Ryan's just come in and dove in, like I mentioned, given that energy, that burst, and that execution and practice that we've been that we needed at the time, and just excited to have him as being part of the family.
Point guard's always topic of discussion. I mean, you look in NDSU lore, you get Ben and Lawrence and, you know, on and on. And, Vinny, certainly a big part of that. Then Sam kind of makes the transition. This year, I'm sure you're not in the position you thought you'd be where you might have had all summer to take a look at Damari. You might have had a chance to, can Lance maybe play it a little bit? Can Tejavis maybe play it a little bit? And you've got Dez coming back from an ACL. Your healthy point guard has been Luke Yoder. So what has this point guard competition kind of looked like where all the guys in the competition aren't necessarily even available to you?
It wouldn't be any fun if it was easy, right? And I think that's the case is I don't have a great answer for you sitting here today on, October 24th, 25th, wherever we're at here. And meaning that just because of some situations and scenarios, it hasn't presented itself. I can tell you this, Luke has really done a great job of establishing himself as a guy that can run the show and just a solid Division I player just because of his IQ, his toughness, and those things. But I think when you go, to me, Damari is a natural point guard as well. He's showing those abilities in high school. He's showing those early this summer. An elite on-ball defender, an explosive athlete. I think there's going to be some – and I'm careful here, yeah. But there's going to be some parallels that people see to Vinny just with what he can do with the ball and getting people involved, getting himself to the free throw line. But also then we got some luxuries too. At times where in the last couple of years I felt like we only had so many options at the one and move some guys around to take care of that for us. To your point, Lance Waddles can play some one. Jakari White has done a good job, this fall in some situations. When Dez is healthy, what's that look like? Tejavis Miller is way more comfortable on the ball, but also closing out games and situational things. I think the luxury that we have different in the past is we'll have multiple ball handlers on the floor at one particular time. That helps you close out games.
He's pressing lights.
Absolutely. You'll see more ball screens from us in different areas and different ways on the floor offensively. And that's just a product of the personnel that we have on the floor this year.
If I were to take kind of a critical look just at the roster, one place that would concern me would be depth at the big position. God forbid anything happened to Andrew or to Grant, but even just backup 5 minutes, backup 4 minutes, stuff like that. Josh Streit sure looks like he's going to be a linchpin of your program this year. I've talked to you, I've talked to Sash, people just raving about the summer that this kid has had. How is he going to help you kind of maybe address those concerns? And also, what kind of role could he play for you this year?
Again, I think it goes back to the evolution that is college basketball. And a credit to our program, our culture, in particular, the things that Coach Miller does spring, summer, and fall, the development that those guys make in the off season. And Josh has put on weight. He's gotten stronger. And I just think as much as...
Allegedly, according to the program. Program an inch taller too.
There you go. See, there's things that you know about the program that I don't even know about, right?
We're from 6'8 to 6'9.
There you go. That's part of our development program.
There you go.
To all the recruits out there, we grow you.
Yeah.
Vertically. You know, I mean he's just done a tremendous job. And I think going back to the experiences of redshirting and then being pulled, like, okay, not a perfect scenario, but those experiences on the court are invaluable. They're immeasurable. And him being able to be on the court for us last year helps him this year be quicker, ready to go. And he's just done a great job. Josh Strite is the spirit, the heart, the energy of our team. And the guys enjoy playing with him. He brings a great joy. Is Josh as an effective scorer as Andrew Morgan on the block? He's not. Like, right, I'm not going to trick anybody. But Josh provides a real defensive presence. He's been really effective on the offensive glass. He's a tremendous passer. And you're going to see those things from him, too. When Noah Feddersen is a guy we're tremendously excited about with some size, we'll see how that plays out. And then a guy like Sam Hostreiter, too, is probably more of a traditional four-man, in my mind, that we've had success with.
Similar to like Sam before he became a point guard.
Yes, there you go. Or like an A.J. Jacobson, a Corey Brown. You know, our league has changed a little bit where you're seeing sometimes at times true two bigs, yeah. You know, at times. Grant's obviously in a lot of ways the unicorn, but yeah. But different, where I think depending on matchup, Sam's a legit 6'7". Now he's going to give away some things maybe at times depending on the matchup with some weight. But more of that traditional stretch four that can move, handle it. And Sam's really vertically proven to be effective for us as well.
Anything that we might notice, and I don't want you to give away the game plan or give away, yep. You know, anything like that, but anything we might notice stylistically a little bit different this year from watching the way that your team plays offense or even the way that they defend?
Yeah, I not defensively. I mean, you know me. I mean, that's the boring, stubborn part that we are. There's a few adjustments here, and we'll have our adjustments in our back pocket, but every time I go back and look at a game where we, you know, we're struggling and we went zone for a couple possessions, they scored and then we end up coming back, it just bothers me, right? I just want to be who we want to be.
Let you forget the 1-3-1 at UNC.
I know. And if you go back and watch that, we gave up a wide open shot.
Yeah.
They kind of missed. Then missed. Yep. They came and fumbled a pass. They took a timeout. We went back, man.
Okay.
But, you know, it takes away the rhythm. I get that. But, you know, offensively, yeah, I do think you're going to see some differences in us based on our personnel. You know, we are, you know, I mean, obviously Rock was tremendous at the five and a different type of five. But Andrew Morgan is somebody that I think fans, tough upper Midwest farm mentality people are going to rally around. More of a true basket, back to the basket guy, probably more similar when it comes to that to a Marshall Bjorklund rather than a Rocky Cruiser. Clearly, you know, doesn't have that perimeter face-up stuff maybe that Rock had initially at this time of his career, although that's developing as well. In a lot of ways, I think we'll play through. Andrew is talented and is and Grant understands that too, but you're seeing our experience, our talent, some of our size and things that we feel that could be advantages for us being more at the four and five. And then we're really playing off of those guys and then playing through. Well, you'll see a few more ball screens and different things like that, but still have some, you know, some accountability offensive things where there's some I don't want to say it. Not necessarily flex or cutters like we've done in the past, but some still a little bit more structure to it at times.
Bowden Skunberg's a kid that I've been fascinated with his journey because you look at what he did in high school and just filled it up. And then he finds his way into your rotation by just guarding the hell out of Max Asmus, Baylor Shireman, I mean, whoever, whatever all-league scoring threat you want to talk about. But I think there's still some piece of the fan base, piece of people watching Bowden that is waiting for him to score 25 or do something like that. What have you kind of seen from him? I'm sure he's taken a leadership step forward, being one of your five guys that have come back. But why, not necessarily why do you feel like the offense has taken longer, but when do you feel like maybe he'll be not necessarily averaging 23 a game like he was in high school, but back to kind of a little bit more of the guy that folks saw at Jamestown?
Yeah, I mean, I think first and foremost, and I probably say this too much in a sense to really make this next point really hit. And you're not supposed to talk like this as a coach, but like Bowden Skumberg is quickly becoming one of my very favorites that I've ever coached. The mentality
that show him this thing.
Yeah, you know, well, go right ahead, because I tell him all the time that, sure, you know, I love that kid. And it came out in during the season where I said loud and clear, I got Bowden Skumberg's back, because I know Bowden's got my back, and together we've got the group's back. And a guy that I'm going to go here on record and say, like, an individual, a player, a young man that's very misunderstood. And in a lot of ways, I relate Bowden Skumberg and Dave Richmond myself in a lot of the same context, where I think it's very misunderstood because you only see us in competitive environments. I get the joy and pleasure in watching Bowden mature off the court into the young man that he's becoming, the faith-based young man that he is, and how that drives him. Sometimes our competitive environments are the worst environments for us, and I'm guilty of that too. But Bowden is everything that I'm about, just with his toughness, his energy, his tenacity. I think that the part I get the narrative when it comes to scoring, yes, he's established himself, you know, beyond my expectations to who he is defensively and how that sets the swag of our group and our guys feed and rally behind that. But the college game is quite a bit different than North Dakota high school basketball. Yep. And that's coming from a guy who wants every player in North Dakota that's our ability to play here. That's coming from a guy that, to some extent, played North Dakota high school basketball, not very well, obviously. But it's a different game. You're going against different people. There's different things that work. It's different things that don't work. And it takes time to learn those things. And still, even to this day, we're working with Bowden on improving this because this will set up that, or just because this works better based on our personnel or who you're going against. And Bowden, the best part about him, Ross, at the end of the day, all that kid cares about is a W word, and that's winning. You're going to see him grow offensively, but you're still going to see his major impact being who he is and that dog, that tenacity that he brings to us.
I don't know. I mean, potential. Matt Antz talks about hating that word, potential.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about hype as a word, but I just from the day he even signed at North Dakota State, whether it was Kyan Brown, whether it was yourself, whether it was another, like, Grant Nelson's name has been on the mouth of somebody about just how special, how talented, how unbelievable this kid could be at his size with his abilities. You mentioned the word unicorn, just somebody that we've not seen around these parts. And there have been moments, I mean, I think he scored 17 points in 4 minutes at one point last year. But obviously, you're on a team with Rocky Cruiser, Tyree Edie, and Sam Griesel. You understand that you have a certain place on that team, even if it's unspoken. Those guys are all gone. I'm not going to, you know, it's not Grant Nelson's team, but his role has to be different. His role, I think, is, I mean, he's your first team all-league guy. It's right there in the preseason awards and stuff. What change have you seen in him as, not necessarily, like I said, taking over it as this is my team, but he's got to be that guy this year.
Yeah, and I think first and foremost, what's Grant's coming out of his own skin a little bit and being more of a vocal leader. I go back to an instance in practice the other day where I was going up to somebody to say something. He cut me off. And I'll let that happen every day in our program where it's a player-led program. Those kids are going to listen more to a guy like him than they are to myself. And I'm perfectly comfortable saying that. It's all there, right, Ross? It's all there. But for us to achieve the things that we want to achieve, for Grant, while he's a Bison, to achieve the things that he wants to achieve, and then hopefully beyond, what we've stressed to him lately, just even in the last couple of days and weeks, is just be where your feet are at. you know, be the best version of yourself. And part of that is going to understand. It took Rocky a minute 2 years ago to understand, you know, when Vinny and Tice were gone, like, you know, the things that happened to you before are going to be different based on who you are in a scouting report to your opponents. You know, to your point, let's say in the past, Grant at best probably showed up third in the scouting report, maybe even fourth at times. Now he's the number one, number two guy, you know, and him and Morgs are going to get that attention. And really focusing to him now, like, hey, here's the guy in front of you, but what does the gap look like? You know, because you're going to see multiple bodies. People are going to shrink the floor about him. What's that help side defender look like too? And he does some wild things all the time. He was limited in some time and some reps this summer based on, you know, the injury that he had against Omaha. As we peeled back some layers, there's probably wasn't fully healed from that we had to take that step back this summer and just really let that heal. Still finding his way with some things. And I think when he just goes back, takes a deep breath and understand all he needs to be is Grant Nelson, the best version of himself. Special things are ahead because there aren't many people on this planet that are that size, have that kind of work ethic, and are able to do the things that he does.
I'm gonna try not make you angry with me because I'm gonna bring up a little bit of things didn't go that well. But this, for whatever reason, this reminds me of 13-14. You have this awesome year. The next year, 14-15, I think your first year as head coach. I think you go to Iowa and you go to Texas.
Texas and then Iowa.
Yeah. Things do not go great.
Correct.
I look at this Kansas and Arkansas thing, and I'm not saying that things aren't going to go great, but like you had such a new group, and they got thrown directly into the fire. And I see some parallels with this very new group and the defending national champion and an Elite Eight team from last year. How excited are the guys about this opportunity? And when I say thrown into the fire, I mean there's – no question about it.
You've been around me and you've been around the program long enough, and I've talked specifically about that year, and I got to tell a story. It's one of my favorite stories. We go to Texas and just get crushed, right? And then we travel, we sit, we go to – that was on a Friday, I believe, and on a Monday we play at Iowa, and we get crushed by just a little less than we got crushed at Texas. Yep. And so travel home on a Tuesday, and Wednesday I'm talking to my father, and he says – he says, Dave, I want you to know I went to bed at 10:30 last night and slept like a baby until 2:30. And then I got up and walked around the house for 2 hours. And I said, come on, Dad, no faith in your son? And he said something really impactful to me, Ross, and you're a father. Once a father, always a father. And, you know, and that stuck with me. But to go back to your point, like we had an incredible embrace as we were Summit League champions at the end.
You were.
Right? And so... we are going in there fully expecting to win both of those games against some great, great teams, well-coached teams, back-to-back Elite Eight, Arkansas's, an incredible environment, national champion, Fog Allen, historic, and all those things. But make no mistake, we are a process-oriented team that attacks those processes based on wanting to achieve the results that we want. However those games end up, win by 20, lose by 20, in between, over, around, guess what's going to happen when we come back? We're going to go back to work and still continue to hit our process. And that's the boring piece, but that's also the successful piece of what's made us successful.
I haven't seen the schedule poster yet. You've had different messages for your clubs throughout the year. What's this year's message?
Blank slate. We've talked about that just of it's kind of, I don't know if it's worked like this way. I haven't certainly planned it out, but you look at a 2 year windows. You look at, you know, the two back to back NCAA tournament teams, Vinny Tyson. Yeah. Yep. Then you go back here to the last 2 years in Rocky's group and, you know, and those things. And now a lot of those, pretty much all those faces are gone. Certainly there's been some legacy pieces where our, you know, some of those in particular, the five guys have learned some things. All those groups have done a tremendous job of establishing the standard of excellence in championship pedigree that we want in our program to be about. But in turn, like, we got close last 2 years, and we're not playing horseshoes and hand grenades here, Ross, and we need to continue to get better and grow to put ourselves in a position that in February, March, we're playing our best basketball and get back to that place and be those two or three possessions better than we were the last couple of years.
We're doing this, you mentioned, on the 25th of October, hoping that this comes out the morning of the 26th. Talk to me a little bit about Bison Bash.
Bison Bash, thank you for bringing that up. Bailey and our marketing staff have done a tremendous job, and it's actually funny. I'd seen some other programs taking it off campus, you know, and it makes a lot of sense to you want to bring the fans to us, but I think another way to engage the fans is to go to them. And it's going to be a tremendous opportunity to get away from the basketball court, to have fans see us. Most importantly, our student athletes, our players, men's, women's, basketball, wrestling, in a different environment. We're going to be at Kingpins. Bailey asked me today if I'm up for playing laser tag, so I'm all in on those things. But it should be a fun environment. Hopefully we can get a tremendous turnout. And, again, thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate that, Ross.
Thanks for your time, Dave. We appreciate you.
It's always great. Thank you, sir.
We want to thank Dave for his time. We want to thank our wonderful sponsors, Tundra Insurance and Gateway Chevrolet. We want to thank all you wonderful people for listening. We want to see you tonight at the Bison Bash. I'll be there with my entire family. Have a phenomenal week, folks, and go Bison!